Well, we'll live with that. We don't want to enjoy it. Get fired up. Use the crowd for sure. So it's a pressure that we don't want to stay away from that. We don't want to, even keel. It's fine. But let's get a little fired up for the home opener. Why wouldn't we? We got a great building here. It's going to be wired here, but you come to a game in January, it's going to be wired here too. So let's take it all in. As long as the puck drops and the focus is there, and we're professionals, so we should be able to do that. But let's make sure that we don't pass on a great home building, because we don't want to be too jacked up for the first 10 minutes.
Based on the changes to the playoff format last year, do Central Division games become any more important?
I don't know how you do that as a coach, go in and circle the boards that somehow these games are more important. I know the whole two-point thing. But you'd like that to be filtered into your room through the games that you play in your own division. You play them more, so there should be a more natural intensity that's built through anger and the battle that goes on. You get to see teams more, you get to dislike them more, and so there should be some form of, you can feel those games. And we're new to the West in some ways, so you don't have the Detroit-Toronto or the Detroit-Chicago or any of the great rivalries that have been built up over the years. But for us, our division, we see them more, so that's where that extra jump should come from.
I'm sure you're familiar with the Toronto Star did a study a few years ago. Teams that are in the playoffs on American Thanksgiving, 88% of those teams stay in, and the other teams rarely get back in. It's never too early, I guess, to start collecting points.
Well, I think maybe a bigger view of that is the good teams make the playoffs, and they're usually good from the start all the way through. So they get to that spot by American Thanksgiving, and they're good, and they keep going to that. So you can't play really, really well for 6 to 8 weeks and figure that that's good enough, right? So that being said, those teams that finish 4th through 8th in the conference, probably have 75 points with a month and a half left to go in the season, and that's not enough points to make the playoffs. You got to be good all year. You've got to have your house in order. I don't think you're probably right. If you go 6-8 weeks where you're not playing well, chances of you getting that fixed in a weekend and taking off for the rest of the year is tough.
So to follow, now is a good time to start playing well and collecting points.
It's never a good time to play poorly. That's right.
Paul, Chris Thorburn will be on the third line once again. Can you just tell us what he brings to that line and why him over maybe anyone else on the
line? That line, and just so brief history from the 35 games from last year when we had a number of our injuries, Chris was the guy that kind of got the call in every one of those lines, produced and played well. So I just think back to the game-winning goal in Carolina last year. He was playing with Wheeler and Shifley. And he fit in. He plays a simple, easy-to-read game. He's got size, he's got speed, he makes good decisions, puts the puck net and finishes all his checks and can make some plays. So in doing that, he'll bring something to any line that he plays for. He's got the ability to sit for blocks of time, whether there's PK time or power play time, and not lose anything when he comes off the bench. He's a good veteran pro, and he understands the game well.
Well, when you look from when you took over the team last season, the home record, I guess there'll be a lot of attention paid to it, especially as this season gets going. Did you notice a difference in the style of play, intentionally or unintentionally, with the way that this team played at home versus how it played on the road?
I think in general, teams have a tendency to have a bit more offensive-minded at home, feel like they have to do a little bit more, create a little bit more. You can get into a road grind where you're comfortable going out there. You don't care about the shot clock. You don't care about putting on a show. It's a real simple, basic game. I think the history of our club says that we would have a tendency to play on more of the offensive side of the game, make some of those higher-risk plays. And you see that at the home. And in pre-scouting our team in the past, the last 2 or 3 years in pre-scouting, this team, you would see some of that, the cross ice, a lot of the seam, guys leaving the zone maybe a little bit early, a lot of speed in their attack. And the game plan then would be to frustrate them as much as you can, force them into an even higher risk game, and in doing so, frustrate them at home. So we want to get to the same game road and home, that we want to be as aggressive as we possibly can be as creative as we need to be, but still have an intelligent risk threshold with what we're doing.
Paul, how do you get to Pekka Rinne? Is it traffic? Is it, you know, more shots? Is it just, do you have a philosophy to it, or is it just stick to your own game?
Well, let's talk about a different goalie. So we'll talk about Jonathan Quick maybe, right? So the book on him maybe is you want to try to go upstairs, except he stopped 46 last night. I think the good goaltenders are good because they have that ability, and the team in front of you never lets you see a weakness more than once or twice a game. So whatever goaltender it is, a guy has a hard time moving side to side, he has a hard time with rebound control, the good teams in front of them play a game that don't let you see those three or four times where you can expose that. So then your game plan can't change offensively goaltender to goaltender. So here we'll throw at all the cliches. We got to get traffic to the net. We got to get pucks to the net. We got to be hard on the second puck. And put as much volume there. Statistically, it says he's going to just stop an awful lot of the pucks that you put there, so you need to get more.
I know Kane's a big man, but Byfuglien's bigger. When he's on that line with Scheifele and Wheeler, do you coach them differently to use their size, or do you just have them play their game?
The line looks differently. The role that Scheif gets doesn't change because of the two of them. I would think you might look at the D pairs that you play that line against. Can change a little bit. You may be looking for speed advantage with Evander there, and with Dustin there, you're looking for any kind of size advantage that you can get. Dustin's a unique player because he's, first of all, he's quicker than you might think. He covers an awful lot of ice, and his ability to hang onto the puck. So it's not just a speed attack. He'll get into those corners and work his way out of the corners with under puck control. So we're looking for Scheifele and Wheeler at that point to move off him a little differently than maybe Evander. You know that if it's on Evander's stick, at some point it's going to the net. And that can be from a wider angle at times, and even from the below the goal line, the puck's going to the slot at some point. So those guys will make those adjustments off them. But right now, no, we're not using them any differently because of the two men.
And finally, do you see any chemistry between Wheeler and Byfuglien just because they do skate together in the summer?
I don't know that. I liked that line last year at the end. When we got real banged up, there was a point in time where the two of them played together. And I think they like playing with each other. They can both, you know, Dustin can make that pass and he can make that play. And Blake's speed is unusual. You know, he can get going so fast in such a short period of time that they can use that. And I've there's no need to introduce a negative. When you've got all that speed on the line with Evander there, you know, something you got to give up, and sometimes that's puck control. And then with Dustin there, he has that ability to control the puck, so it's just a different look.
Paul, Ryan Little was saying this morning that he's a perfectionist, and as much as he's produced a few goals to start the season, that he's not pleased with his defensive play. And he almost seemed a little bit discouraged. I know that's kind of just his personality, but do you work with a player like that to help him see the positives in his game while also allowing him to recognize where he can tweak things?
We've discussed as a line, not individually, but as a line. You know, they had three goals, and we're all excited about that, but their plus-minus says it's not where we need them. They're going to score, and they score goals a little bit differently. Brian's quite a bit quicker than people think, and you saw it in the shorthanded goal that he scored. He gets to the net, and he's got good hands doing that. When we are successful as a team, that line is very difficult to play against. They don't give up a whole lot, and they still get theirs. So he's just, you know, I'm happy to hear that. He's a mature player. He's not walking around saying, I got three, everything's fine. So that's a good sign for a team. They know as a line that we need them to shut down the other team's best, and they need to be positive plus-minus players in that range.